This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 755. It is officially December, meaning it's officially holiday times, solstice-related celebrations. So I'm wearing, if you're watching, I'm wearing my Santa Claus cap with a green shirt. It's the 3¾-inch shirt from tfradio.net/shirt. I've bought a ton of shirts lately from TeePublic, including the purple, the correct color for the G2 Robot Collector shirt. And I picked up, I'll try to wear it next week, Ant's TFU Info, Frenzy's Blue Rumble is Red shirt, which is not my preference, but I like blue better than red as far as clothing goes. So, and some Nest shirts on the way. I'm Brian Kilby, buying a lot of shirts from TeePublic, tfradio.net/shirt. With me this week, we have, not on camera if you're watching video, Rob.
Hi.
Also not on camera, Chris.
I have many shirts, but they're all identical because I'm apparently a living cartoon character.
You're Homer Simpson.
In my adult life.
That's pretty much correct from my experience with you.
Okay.
Donald.
Hello.
Matt.
Hey.
And Diecast.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, y'all. So I for my Christmas album that I do every year, this is a plug, BrianKilby.com, you can find the last 5 years. I field tested the first song that I have recorded, and Kim hated it, which means that it's good. I'm excited. And I'll just say this. The 9-year-old is like, is this the Chipmunks or is this you? And I'm like, that's the point. So, yeah, I'm excited. So, the album, I'm aiming to have it out on the 10th, which is late, but, I don't have any free time anymore. So, let's see here. What else? Anything we want to talk about before I do the big pitch? The big pitch?
Anything? Nah, okay. Just dive in.
Okay. Yeah. So, this is something that, of course, we talk about this time of year every week. We have for the last few weeks. This will probably be the last time or next to the last time that we bring it up. Because time's running out. There's only so much time that's available between now and Christmas to round up toys and distribute them to kids in need. So if you have any interest in doing this at all, now's the time. Time's running out. There's a kid out there right now who needs something this holiday season. For whatever reason, their parents can't or won't provide for them. Maybe they don't have parents. Maybe their parents are in jail. My adopted kids, the home they came from, their parents were in and out of jail. The home life wasn't great. The kids didn't have enough food, didn't have clean clothing, didn't have transportation. And in the end, they really had basically nothing when it came to physical possessions or belongings. I know I can probably write you a list of every toy that my 9-year-old had as a child because she's told me about every single one. I mean, I grew up poor. I'm not going to lie. I grew up way, way poorer than I ever realized. I was an adult before I was able to look back and say, wow, we had nothing. But my kids, they had nothing. They really had nothing. And there are so many other kids out there that are in the same situation or worse. You know, I'm not here to pick on my kids' bio parents. This isn't therapy session for me. Maybe it is. I don't know. But, you know, there was something in their lives that they needed to get straight and they weren't able to do it. Irrespective of that, it was not the kid's fault, but they had to live with the actions, with the repercussions of the life choices that those parents made every single day. And it's just simply not fair to the kids that their biological parents couldn't afford to buy them anything, really. I mean, I volunteered for and worked for a children's home for years, and I know how dire things can get out there. Things are really, really bleak. And a simple toy, a doll, a car, a train set, that's something that a child will carry in their heart and their memories for the rest of their lives. It really helps shape them. And a generous act can help give them some hope. I mean, hell, this is a podcast where grown men are talking about toys. I mean, if anybody knows the fact that kids carry this for their whole lives, it's us. It's you listening. We know how important toys can be. Come on, seriously. If you are able to give at all, pick up a toy at Walmart, at Ollie's if you have one, at Target, Myers, whatever store you have, pick it up. Drop it in the donation box. You've helped change a life. It's really simple. It's really easy. It doesn't take much. I mean, we recommend buying things on clearance. If you look at Twitter, hashtag Elf on a Shelf Warmer, you'll see stuff that other people have donated. You'll see the stuff that I donated last week. Most of the stuff that my wife and I donated, we got on clearance. Yeah, we ended up donating quite a few things, but we really worked hard to maximize how far our dollars went. It doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a $200 doll to change a kid's life. It doesn't take a $300 remote control car or an iPad to, you know, brighten a kid's day. A $10 Care Bear will do it. As long as the toy is new, still in package, most places will take it. Don't take it to a thrift shop or something like that. You know, look for a charity that will actually distribute the toy to a child. It doesn't have to be Toys for Tots. We recommend Toys for Tots. We know they do good work. Like I said, my kids basically had nothing. A lot of what they got came from a local church. There are a lot of outlets out there like that where you can drop something off and help brighten a child's life. And if you do, post it to social media with a photo, hashtag Elf on a Shelf Warmer, as long as it's on a social media that we look at, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we will do what we can to reshare it. There's probably something somewhere in your area, somebody taking toys for kids this holiday season. But worst case scenario, if you don't, you can always go to tfradio.net/elf. It'll take you to an Amazon wish list where we get no fees or referrals or anything off of that.
Although now when we say always, we are coming to the, you know, final days of accepting donations.
We try to cut this off around the 10th, even though I think it goes closer to like the 15th or 16th.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, I want to make sure people are aware, like, you know, it's not like up to
it's
Christmas
time
Day
bound.
Or anything.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very time bound, and the sooner that you can choose to do this is absolutely for the better. Like, you know, don't wait any longer than you can help.
But you know what? Honestly, it might not hurt to mention this ever so often, because I do stockpile the stuff for Toys for Tots, and I have a box worth stuff goes, so it may not be a bad idea to do. But yeah, so over the next, maybe the next week, no later than the 10th, maybe make my Christmas album like the terminal point where, you know, oh, the album's out, I can't donate anything else. But basically, if there's no other option, you know, tfradio.net/alf, it'll come to me and I'll drop it off for you. But if you share it on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you know, what have you, I will definitely share that or reshare that on our social media. And it's just really easy. It's a great way to help out. And seriously, it makes a difference. You know, my kids talk about, you know, like the one or two gifts that they actually got. Now, treat stuff like crap, I'm not going to lie. But when they had nothing, you know, my 9-year-old still talks about that Easy Bake Oven that she got, and I know her parents didn't buy it for her. So, I mean, that's like the best thing that she's ever had. So, come on, guys. It's really easy to do, and this is like the last possible minute. If you haven't done something already, please do. It does make a lot of difference in somebody's life. So, okay.
When does Toys for Tots typically start collection for a season?
Early to mid-November.
Like, maybe what we should do for next year is like around mid-October start doing this, so that you can start stockpiling stuff for the first couple of weeks of the donation period.
So the challenge that I'm finding with this is people are really in the mood to do it now.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
And like, I really want to focus on it like now and next week.
Yeah,
because
sure.
It's okay. Like the mood is there, but after next week, it's really too late. So, and like it, nobody, I don't want to say nobody cares, but like, you know, I worked at a nonprofit. I know that there are times of the year when, you know, the bulk of people that will ever donate to you, just, they don't think about you. They don't care. They're not going to do a thing. You know, you have your dedicated people that, you know, help keep you afloat, but you know, there's only certain times of year where you get a lot of, you know, inflow of cash or whatever.
Well, like you said, I don't think they don't care. I just think they don't
not literally
it's,
care.
It's not in their consciousness at those other times.
And then, you know, and people don't necessarily, you know, I just to be honest with you, people don't want to hear it for 2.5 months of the year. Me asking for toys.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
So, you know, I try to hit it big, hit it hard when we do hit it, and you can spin it in a minute if you win it. And you can spin it, spin it, spin it. Is that how it
goes? I thought that's your Christmas album. You can spin it in a minute.
No, sorry. The kids were wanting to listen to the Disney Afternoon album on the ride home tonight. It's a great album, and Don just gave it his approval. So,
I've got the cassette and the CD.
Or so, Don. Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. The only songs I like on it are the theme songs. Like all the other songs, are not that great. They had to fill the album out. As someone who's produced now 5 albums, I understand that. So, yeah. Okay. Anything else? Is there anything else coming up?
I mean, Toy Fair is happening in February again, but I don't think that's really what you're looking for here.
Our year-end review?
That's coming up.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That's Chris's favorite thing.
Mine and Matt's and Rob's. And
you know, wasn't that bad last year?
You know, you say that every year, and I always remember it exactly the opposite.
It was much shorter and easier to produce.
You always say that every year.
It's gotten easier and shorter every year.
I will also note that the first time you said that sentence, you said that it was shorter and easier to produce, which is certainly different from the other end of the spectrum here. I'm just saying, this is the conversation we have around this time every year about this subject, and it's always the same thing. You think it was shorter and easier and better than the year before it, and I think, No, it wasn't.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see.
We shall see
Galvatron. We shall see Galvatron. We shall see. Hey, one thing. So actually, I got some feedback on our Patreon today from Jacob. And we've gotten it before. Formally. No. For the RSC Throwback podcast. And I do forget that not everybody's been listening for 20 years. So Jacob had asked, you know, if we could talk about more topics, you know, just the hypotheticals, but like a specific formal topic for an episode, because that's sort of what we do on the Throwback podcast. And I just, you know, the thing is, I think this is, I think it's a great question for the general audience. You know, we've been producing the show for so long. That was part of our weekly format for years.
And then we ran out of things to talk about. I mean, it's sad, but it's true.
And realistically, like, we don't want the show for us to be retread, even though I get that there are people who never heard that stuff. Mm-hmm. What I have found that is more important probably than anything else when it comes to producing quality content is actually enjoy producing it. So one thing I try to minimize for the guys is to subject them to stuff that they feel is retread or they might find boring, because it results in better content. So, and I'll be honest, a lot of the stuff that we talked about, even though it was like 10 years ago, I don't want to revisit it. Even though a lot of us sort of have turned over and there's some different folks here, I'm still here.
Like almost all different folks here.
Yeah, but I'm still here. Chris, you're still here.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I necessarily, you know, want to talk about it. So what I probably should do is make it easier for that content to be found. So, you know, I look at the download numbers occasionally, and I know that, you know, people go back and listen to the old stuff, but it's not certainly any stretch to say that it's close to the volume of people who listen to newer stuff. Maybe I can go back and, you know, extract some of that and make, you know, special podcasts out of it. I don't know. There's probably ways that we can curate it to make it available to new people without, you know, making me talk about, you know, why, I don't know, who was who in the...
Why
2005? Yeah, so it's a great question. And I think we are due for a format tweak. We haven't really done one in a couple of years. I think the last tweak we really did was dropping the This Week in History segment.
That was like 5 years ago.
Yeah. But like I said, we want to have a format that's comfortable for us and that we enjoy doing. So it makes it more fun for the listener. But I think there's probably some opportunity to tweak things around. It's been a while. So, you know.
I mean, I think for the throwback content, revisiting some of those older topics isn't a terrible idea, depending who among the cast we can, you know, strong arm into actually sitting and talking about for 15 minutes. You, yeah. Brian, don't necessarily have to participate in the conversation.
That's true. Just,
you know,
moderate. Why don't you guys record something after the show tonight and go to bed?
No, I mean, you still have to like record and moderate and facilitate, but you don't necessarily have to like, you know, participate in the conversation.
Okay. I'm too tired anyway. So, yeah, that's a great idea. But
I'm running on 3 hours sleep. I'm not doing anything after the show.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. I'm four and trying not to nod off right now.
Yeah. I'm surprisingly alert for the amount of sleep I've had and the activity I've had today.
Yeah.
I moved an organ.
Really?
Nice. Not a big organ, but, you know, like one the size of a small piano.
Wow.
Like cool. Not a grand piano, one of the upright pianos, not the impressive.
So you moved a piano?
Essentially, yeah.
That's still heavy.
I thought you mean you were doing some like black market, like you moved an organ to someone.
Oh, no. If I had done that, I would be so like adrenaline pumped right now from the, you know, the danger and the
risk. I assume that's why you were alert and awake.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah. But it wouldn't be surprisingly alert and awake. Like I said, I was, it would be like expectedly alert and awake. And then, you know, by an hour, I would crash entirely.
Did I ever mention what, since we're on a small tangent here, did I ever mention the ancient pump organ that my parents bought before I was born?
That's awesome. No, you haven't.
It is from the late 1800s. It is still in the house. I think the bellows needs replaced.
So your house, doesn't your house date back to about the same time?
It's early 1900s, so probably within like 20 years of one
another. That is really cool.
Yeah, but the thing about the organ is, I think they bought it in an antique store in like Pennsylvania, and they brought it home, and we got to looking inside it and cleaning it. It was made like a block from our house.
That's crazy.
Now, either you or Jay have told me this before. I've heard the story.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, after all these years, I've heard most of your stories.
Yeah, very likely.
And I've heard, I think, all of Jay's stories at least six or seven times each.
This is a habit amongst the family in general, yes.
Jay particularly reruns.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, this episode certainly did take a left turn.
Yeah. So let's jump to the news. So, you know, this is something I've been on top of all day. And I've been reading people's thoughts, and what I love is that most of the people that I've seen comment on this hate these. And
really?
Yeah. I've been seeing people who are Super 7 fans, which I don't get. And they're like, what, why, huh? No.
So Brian, I want you to know, when I wrote the thing I wrote and titled it the way I did, it was not ironically, that was a sincere statement.
Oh, I love it. So we, hopefully this works. We have photos or renders of Wave 3 of Transformers Ultimates, and I don't know what I like. I do know what I like the best, but I like two of them I could care less about.
Yes,
and two of basically. Them I love, and I think for us it's the opposite of everybody else.
Yes,
there is one clear winner.
I hope I am on the same page as you guys, because sometimes I come out of left field. So,
okay. So, you know, in the order that I see them on my screen, not in the order that I care.
Right.
It's almost the opposite. It is Rekgar.
That's not an accident, Brian.
Yeah. Rekgar. I saw people, Rekgar is the only one I'm interested in. I'm like, who are you? What's your problem?
I mean, Rekgar is a fine choice for this line.
Yes.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with that as a character.
It's choice. The boring
I like
the one.
Accessories. I like the accessories they have picked out here. You know, the option toy head, the little pocket TV. Like, it's a very good, solid offering.
Yes. But then you have Tarn.
Interesting choice.
Yeah. Especially since they sunbowed him a little bit.
And, yeah. You know, licensed Tarn figure.
That's a first.
No, it's not Flame Toys, did it?
Oh, yeah. Flamed. I don't.
Yeah, yeah. But this is, you know,
figure at, under $100.
Yeah, yes. This is, you know, retail priced.
Yeah, and it comes with an accessory of Nickel.
Nickel. Yeah.
Oh wow.
And her little jetpack, so you know, tiny little Nickel can fly around and do maintenance on the giant DJD guys.
Now it's getting good though. We have a G2 Megatron.
I love this so
much. That is gorgeous.
It is great.
I just pre-ordered it.
Oh, I pre-ordered the whole. I pre-ordered the whole wave.
I don't. Again, this might be unpopular. I don't care about G2 Megatron just because I just recently got a G2 Megatron.
That I'm trying to mute him. It's not letting me.
Okay.
That's what I meant. I missed the old days. The old days when we could kick people from the call.
I muted him, though. It's good.
I think Brian could kick him from the call.
I don't want to.
But I mean, there were days when I could have done it because he would be gone by now.
Hey, yes. I'm sure there's a lot of people that agree with me. All right.
No, Dacast. That way you phrase that sentence makes it sound like you need just one G2 Galvatron.
Yeah, Dacast, do you know how many G2 Megatrons I have, Dacast?
No.
Not enough.
A lot, but not enough.
Okay, so just counting original molds?
Okay.
Okay, let me think. So I would say you have the original, obviously. Yeah. You have Hero Megatron?
I can't remember if I picked up a Hero Megatron.
I don't have it. That's one that I don't have.
I do.
Awesome. The Legends? The EX or no, the little one? Then the what's the universe line in Japan?
Well, there's been a few of those.
Yeah.
There's the Robot Masters version, if you wanted to count that.
There's not. Is there Robot Masters?
Yeah, the Double Facer.
That's not Megatron. That's a Double Convoy. Reverse Convoy.
Like Rebirth Megatron, but it's not G2 Megatron.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, no.
So what I have off the top of my head, I've got original G2 Megatron, of course. I may have a Hero Megatron around here somewhere. I've got the recolor of the Classics Battle 2-pack Deluxe Megatron tank.
Oh, forgot about that one, yes.
Right. I've got the Titans Return mold one that I got off of you. I have the... Come on, brain, think. I have the... Remember the GDO one? I got that somewhere around here.
Yeah.
I've got the recent one that came out. I think I have another purple one, but I can't remember which mold that is. I already mentioned that one.
So there's the original color of that one plus the
oh yeah, I mean, yeah
there actually, was a purple version of the Classics 2-pack one.
Yeah, no, actually it wasn't even occurring to me that the Battle 2-pack one, the original green colors, was a G2 reference. So I have that and and its purple recolor. The purple recolor is actually what I was thinking of originally. And I think I have the Hasbro like old Legends class G2 Megatron.
Yeah.
That's all I can think of.
The only one I'm missing is Arch Force or Hero Megatron. I need to fix that. Actually, let me do that.
A nice little figure.
I mean, they're all nice toys, really, except for the GDO one.
Yeah. Okay.
But now you need the Super 7 one as well.
I don't want to buy the Super 7 one, but I love it.
But you're
so
going
much.
To.
I might actually. No, I mean it's amazing what they've done with this because like. You can do it toy accurate. It's got the right it's got like the toy accurate gun. It's got the detailed main turret that you can put on the shoulder. You can do it comic book style. They've got Rob, did you identify that as a Derek Yanniger head?
I think it's more of a Manny Galen head.
Manny Galen head, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I would say Manny Galen, yeah.
And it's got the crazy G2 guns from the comic book. You know, you can do that and just because they could, they threw a Sunbow G1 Megatron head and fusion cannon in there too. So if you want to have, hypothetical Sunbow G2 Megatron, you can do that.
It's crazy. I love it.
It's crazy. They got like every detail they needed to, and they just kept adding to it.
But it's not even the best one from the set. There's one better.
That's the amazing part of this. That's why this is like the best Super 7 day ever.
The Alligator Con from City of Steel. An official Alligator Con
ever.
I love it. This is the one I'm like, yes, I have to have this.
It comes with a severed Optimus Prime head.
And the arm from the this.
Yes, it comes with the spire with the arm and the blaster.
Oh wow. I missed that.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It is so great.
And it has the battle taxi drone, which is it's funny, but I mean that's the like least essential accessory in the thing.
I can just stop collecting now. I'm done.
It's the love letter to City of Steel, though. Like, how is that ever going to be a thing that we could have ever thought?
You know, I think when you look at this, it's like all the mass for the toys probably be taken up by the actual Alleganicon. And besides, there's not much stuff you can put with that figure that's relevant. But I think they actually pulled off making it worth the $55 for what you get.
Yeah, totally. The alligator is 11 inches long. They have an extra
fifth slide. It's 11 inches long?
They have an extra fifth slide in there that denotes the alligator scale. All the other toys had four pictures each. This had the fifth one to show the length of the alligator.
Oh, my goodness.
It's 11 inches long. I assume in packaging, the tail will not be attached.
Yeah. That is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, though, I don't want it. It's great, and I love it. But I just
what
don't,
is
I just,
wrong with you?
I could sell the rest of my collection.
I've already got the G2 Megatron. I've already ordered that. It's just
good.
It's
all
just,
right. Mute him.
I'm sorry. It's just okay. I'm on the fence. It's not. I'm debating on it.
But Don, this alligator is big and heavy.
Yeah, and it's not some crappy third party one either.
No, this is the real deal. It doesn't do anything except be an Optimus Prime alligator.
The two third party ones I have suck. Is there another one?
I didn't even know there was two. The only one I knew about was the Fans Project one.
Yeah, there's the robot, the one of the, it's garbage. I sold it recently. It was a horrible purchase.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, do you think they could retool this and get Beast Wars Alligator Megatron?
Why would they?
Yeah, you'd want him in robot mode.
Yeah. Manny Kara in our Discord, tfradio.net/discord, asks, so you're saying Alligator Con is a $55 footlong?
That's show title. Thank you, Manny.
That's worthy of Don right there, Manny.
Manny, I'm taking that since that's in our Discord. You're getting credit
now. I tip my hat to you.
I'd love that.
No, I hate this because like I really do like that G2 Megatron. What everything they've done with that, I really like. I do want to have that. It's $55, but I still want to have it. The Alligator Con, if I was going to get one Super 7 Transformers Ultimate, it would be that because like that's the thing that that fits what they're doing the best. I said in our Discord earlier today, I think it was either there or on Twitter, like it's amazing how Super 7's Ultimates is better at being Red Collection than Red Collection is, because they're doing things like the Alligator Con or Tarn, you know, like these things that are not going to be in any mainstream toy line, the Alligator Con especially, because it doesn't ever have to transform. Like, that's a perfect red thing, like so many other red concepts we've come up with. But yeah, Super 7 is really nailing it. But I guess when you're charging $55 each, you have a lot more flexibility to do these things.
Yeah, I mean, so they are definitely much more niche.
Yeah.
You know, we've said before, like, I actively discontinued collecting the NECA Turtles because they're not my thing. The Super 7 Turtles Ultimates are what I want. I don't want to go and catch up on them. G.I. Joe, not really what I want. We have Classified going on and, you know, they're nice, but I just don't want to double dip on those characters. The Transformers Ultimates, I could see myself stopping collecting anything else and just getting these. I hope they continue them until I die. Yeah, that's great.
That's a bold statement, Brian.
Yeah, so I was, I was looking at the Super 7 store today, and there's just something about like the reaction figures. I like them in concept, but just in execution, they torture my brain.
Yeah,
they just seem like the figures themselves. If they were $5, they would be the best things ever. But at $20, but like these have the same problem, except. I don't know, like the more they ask for them, the more appealing they are, because I think I'll pay for crazy, and that's, you know, what we're getting. The reaction Transformers aren't so crazy. Reaction Joes are kind of crazy.
Brian, don't put your Walden in crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm excited about this. I think this is probably the best news that we've had all year. In fact,
it's my favorite Super 7 news. In Transformers.
Yeah, this will definitely, I think, be in my top 10 items that I love this year. It might be my favorite news item of the year. I love it. I mean, I thought the basketball was, you know, a big one.
Right? Super 7 knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Cap. I do not hate fun Captain Rufus. I just don't know if I want a giant alligator on the shelf. I mean,
So you hate fun. That's literally what that means, dog.
No, it's like I could use that $55 for something else that would give me more enjoyment. But I'm on the fence. I'm debating it.
Well, Don, if it helps, I think the ETA for these is projected currently at November of next year.
Pre-orders from TSRs are big bad, where you don't have to pay up front.
Right. And, you know, if it does end up being the thing where you come up with something in the meantime that means a lot more to you for that money, you'll be able to cancel them if you go with, like, big bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt to put in a pre-order at this point because you've got a long time ahead of you before you're going to have to actually do something about it.
And if you don't put in a pre-order now, you'll regret it later.
Because remember, these are basically made to pre-order. You know, everything that we've always heard about these is there's not going to be much, if any.
There's like no retail presence for them. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. I just ordered it.
Thank you, Don. Yeah.
I probably will too, on the same premise I presented to Don. I'll have a year to, you know, work my way out of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Or cool. Forget about it and get hit with it next Christmas, whatever.
Okay. So the other news item, I guess Hasbro filed a patent to make what, toys more secure in their new packaging. Is that basically
okay? So I want to preface this with, I'm not like a patent attorney or have any like practical experience in analyzing patents. That's not one of my toy detecting skills yet. But to boil this down to the simple form I understand it as, they've filed a patent for a general concept of building securing mechanisms into the toys with a matching system in the packaging. So like with Transformers as a good example, you know, doing away with the plastic sheet on the front of the smaller boxes, and of course the bigger stuff is fully enclosed boxes, but the window boxes don't have the plastic layer to protect toys from tampering anymore. And we've seen a few examples with upcoming stuff, such as, say, Core Class Studio Series Ravage, where it looks very simple to just reach in and pluck that out of the package. Yep. So this patent seems to be partly to address some of these issues. And looking deeper into the filing, there's several example diagrams they have prepared for that to cover a variety of different toy types. So one of the examples they have is like a human-shaped figure, which I guess would probably represent something like a Marvel Legend or maybe something of the like Titan Heroes level, one of those like shampoo bottle things. It could probably work for anything like that. And in that specific case, the figure itself has a little like loop sticking out of its back that another piece in the packaging interfaces with and holds it in. And it seems like, from how I'm understanding the technical drawings, once you remove it from the package, that loop on the figure can be pushed in flush with the back, so you don't have your superhero or whatever with a, you know, weird plastic circle sticking out the back to, you know, hang from the ceiling by. I think with Transformers, it'd be an even easier application just because the body shapes can be so irregular and there's more opportunities for places to thread things through. What this seems to be is partly a response to having the open face packaging, as well as it would be another way to reduce the amount of packaging materials, because if you don't need to have the figure secured with, you know, 8 to 10 paper or plastic ties, and most of the work is being done by one mechanical locking piece on the back side of the package, you can eliminate a lot of labor as in addition to minor material costs in the packaging process. So I think they're trying to hit a few things with this at once. Now, as for when any of this would ever come into effect, it's not clear. The patent has been approved, so like they've got ownership of this concept for however long a patent lasts, 20 years, I think.
Yeah, not as long as copyright.
So, you know, it's something I'm sure they will start pursuing as the packaging design continues to evolve. But based on what we're seeing with our current glimpses of next year's Transformers product, it's probably not something we're going to see in the immediate short-term future. But, you know, maybe for like 2023, 24, probably we'll start seeing more of this shift. Assuming something doesn't happen in the meantime where Hasbro decides, you know what, we really need to have those windows on those boxes after all. So. But yeah, I mean, I found that interesting just because like Hasbro files, like, you know, trademark applications all the time for names and, you know, branding ideas and things like that. And sometimes it amounts to stuff, sometimes it's just maintenance. you don't really see or hear too often about Hasbro filing a patent, getting approved, and that being for a kind of innovative thing that's going to probably impact all of our various toy collecting endeavors to some degree.
It's interesting, yeah.
This is about the extent I'm able to talk about this with my experience level, which is why I didn't try to, like, you know, podcast it or, you know, intelligently blog about it, because, like, a lot of it is just extrapolation from what I can plainly see. I really need to find someone who is more familiar with, like, diving into patent language and things like that to try to consult with and understand this better before I could do something more. And I don't think I have that among my resources.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So I think I'm good leaving it there. Well, there's still a lot of stuff to talk about. And we only have 20 minutes left. That's not true. It's actually.
Yeah, I was wondering where that came from.
It's open-ended. I like aiming for an hour. I think an hour is like the perfect podcast length. And I just bought Megatron. So that's also, while you were doing that, I picked up Megatron.
Yeah. Take a drink.
Take a drink.
I'm on video, but just, you know, trust that I'm taking a drink.
Delicious. Okay. So let's jump to what we got this week, because I know a lot, this was a heavy week for me, so I'm certain it is for other people too. Who wants to go first? Donald.
Yeah, I'll go. I got a couple things. I'll be real quick. My fiance was down out of town doing a couple of errands, and she stopped and found this, of all things, on the shelf, Double Crosser. Which,
yeah, I can't see it on your camera. It just...
Yeah, we're getting a lot of glare.
Sorry.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've never seen Double Crosser at retail.
Really?
Never saw it in my area at all. And every time, whatever his wave mates were, I remember seeing them, and I thought, oh, maybe I'll find one next time. Never saw them in retail. So Double Crosser. My next thing I got, you know, this last week, it was a very amalgam week. A lot of crossovers.
I don't know where he's going with that.
Amalgam Comics.
I know that, Don.
Yeah, crossovers.
Oh, you finally got that.
Yeah, I forgot my I got the Jurassic Park. Not going to open it. Think I'll just leave it in the box. And, you know, I'll be honest, I do kind of want to see how JP93 turned out.
Don't.
But
no, look at that packaging. Why would you open it?
The packaging is perfect.
Exactly. And the cool thing was, like I mentioned, I canceled my original pre-order, and then I realized, well, if I don't get it now, it may be very hard to get. And it does look good. Once I saw the in hand, how good it looked. And then I wound up realizing I had about $30 of Amazon money in reward points because of putting all of my eye payments for my cataract surgery. So I got that for about $85, which I think is a pretty good price on that. Last thing I got this week, he is the terror that flaps in the night. He is a Target pre-order that goes to the old address because Target never updates the email, the address, and sends it to the wrong place.
Mm.
He is Draculous.
Oh, I thought it was Darkwing Duck. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So I got him.
Now I'm disappointed that it's not Darkwing Duck. Yeah, thanks, Don.
You know, but I mean, he does flap in the night. Really packaging with this crossover.
So Don, you went on mute. I'll just say, the packaging is awesome and it's made to be reusable, but with those damn ties and the cheap cardboard backing, it's not that sturdy.
Yeah. But
if only they had an innovative new solution for securing the toy to the packaging.
Like, I was trying to preserve my package. That sounds horrible, but I was trying to preserve the packaging.
Well, you get to a certain age and you have to think about those things.
It ripped. It completely ripped the cardboard out when I was trying to pull the. Yeah. So luckily I have three of them. So go ahead.
Oh, no. Just, you know, I'm really looking forward to. I've got two. I got one to open and one to keep in the box.
I think I'm going to give one away on Twitter.
Yeah. These crossovers are either going to be there and gone like Maverick, which I was going for quite a bit on the secondary.
Yeah, well, market. No one seems too broken up about that anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying it's either going to be around for a while or it's going to just ninja vanish. Mm-hmm. So I definitely want to, but the Jurassic Park one, I've got Megatron, I've got T-Rex. I really don't need that to open that one. And I figure eventually I may find a JP93 affordable enough that I can get them on its own just to see how it does.
The thing I hate, though, is that Tyrannicon Rex, I think, is actually the best looking iteration of that mold in both modes.
I would agree with that from photos, because I'm not opening mine.
Because, I mean, the dinosaur coloring is fantastic. And I had in 1993 from the original Jurassic Park toy line, the big Tyrannosaurus Rex toy, which was not exactly in those colors, but like it reminds me of that a lot. And I like the bold red and black contrasting on the robot mode parts, and the head retool looks nice too. Like, I'm really into how that looks, but boy, that's an expensive set, and I would probably also have problems making myself open it if I did ever get it. But it looks so nice. Anything else, Don?
Yeah, Don.
No, sorry. That was it. Everything else is in transit or ain't shipped yet.
Okay, yeah. Don. Thank you. Chris, you wanted to go before?
So I only got a couple things, both from my Amazon wish list. So thank you for that.
Sweet.
From one of my favorite classic fanfic writers, Billy, aka TFG1 for VR.
Really?
I got the Playmobil Volkswagen Beetle,
mm-hmm.
or as I jokingly refer to it, Playmobil Glyph, because Glyph was a blue bumblebee color. So that was pretty fun. That was on a pretty good deal around Black Friday last week. So that was I think I saw one end up in your Toys for Tots pile too. That's an interesting coincidence.
Yeah, funny that.
Yeah. And then from Rob's sister-in-law, Angel, I got Generation Selects Transmutate.
Oh, nice.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that was a fun surprise. And it's very interesting colors in person. It's very like G2 Fossilizer, which I can't exactly complain about the concept of now, can I?
No.
Except the problem now, because I have that, I've got Tricranius. I kind of want to get that stupid spoiler pack with the yet another Siege Megatron to have the purple T-Rex fossilizer and just have like all the crazy color ones. And it's the worst idea, and I need to stop thinking of it. But that's all I got this week so far.
Cool. Okay. Who else? Rob, what'd you get?
I got, as far as I can remember, because my memory's terrible at this point, I got one
Mine
thing.
Too.
Sleep
more. Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, I did the night before, and then last night I caught up on all the stuff I didn't do because I slept more.
Yeah.
I got 1.5 weeks of G Generation in the can last night. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, okay. On Black Friday or around it, somewhere in that general vicinity, there was a sale on Amazon for the 2-pack of Sideswipe and Skywarp for like $37. I got that. Skywarp, I have totally forgotten how to transform the Airazor mold in the like 6 months since I got it last, but it's a really nice recolor. It looks good. I like it. Sideswipe is the day one patch of action figures. It is what we should have gotten 2 years ago. And that wouldn't be a thing, except this mold is basic mold has been used how many times since then?
Oh, so many times.
Yeah. So the knees are a little weak because they waited so long on this. That kind of bothers me a lot, but it does look good. If they could get the knees, you know, back in some kind of working order, I would love to have a G2 Sideswipe off of this, but I'll take what I can get, what I've got in the meantime. But yeah, it's not bad. I'm glad with the knee issue and all that, it was, you know, cheaper than the original retail. I'm pretty pleased with these two deluxes at that price. So
are you going to get Red Alert when it starts showing up in Walgreens?
If I run into it face first, I probably will. I'm not 100% sure on that yet, but I'll figure it out. But I think that's the only thing I got this week. I don't actually remember.
I'm right there with you. It's been killer this week. Who else?
I'll go real quick. So I got another Shoto superset. I got Teu Sentai Sun Vulcan this time.
Oh.
So pre Power Rangers Sentai.
It's pretty late.
Yes. And I got a bunch of flight stands for Marvel Legends. That's about it for me.
Nice. Okay, cool. Diecast.
All right. I don't have everything down here to show off, but a lot of it, you know, I got Draculous, like Don, from Target. I got a Rodimus Prime that was on sale.
$56. That's a great price.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a
good tweeted it as soon as I saw it.
And I bought don't. One right away. I couldn't justify getting another one, not because the price isn't great. It's just so big, and I don't need another one.
Uh huh.
But it's back up to like $80-something now on Amazon. So I think a bunch of people jumped on that. The other two, which I believe Brian already got, also come back to the news article we were saying last week where these were delayed from Big Bad Toy Store till
domestic
June or July.
Domestic retailers, yeah.
Yeah, and I got mine from Amazon Japan. They came in today.
Reboost and yeah. Skids.
Reboost and Skids, masterpiece.
I literally got mine 10 minutes before we started recording, and I have already transformed both of them.
That's amazing, and like really... It makes me want them. I can't think of the words I actually want to use to express the idea, but like just hearing that makes me want them more.
So what you're saying is they're great.
So yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Paladin's asking what breaks on Skids, and amazingly, nothing, as far as I've heard, nothing so far.
Did you get anything else? Anything else diecast? Yeah, you did. You got the card game.
Oh yeah.
Building game.
That debacle. I got the card game without the bonus because apparently they sent boxes of bonuses.
What was the bonus?
There was that's why I was saying it was a debacle because
I thought you meant the diamond ransomware attack.
Well, that, and then down below they mentioned that there was a bonus and it was in a box of like 32 or something. Well,
16, I think. Yeah.
Or 16. Yeah. They just started sending out boxes instead of opening the box and giving one bonus to every person. So,
oh, wow.
The thing I pre-ordered from them and paid shipping for to get the bonus, I didn't get. And now they want to figure out who actually got the bonus boxes and ship them out prepaid labels so the person can return them to them so they can redistribute it to the people who didn't get the bonus.
Good luck with that.
Good luck.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great theory, but completely legally unenforceable, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, not to mention the game is what? It's like 4 months late, which is, you know, it happens. I kind of lost my excitement about the game because it was delayed so long.
Yeah, yes. No promo pack. I didn't realize that. Now I'm pissed off about it.
Yeah. Just because they send... Yeah.
Blade Reader requests more specificity on what this card game is.
You have yours?
No. It's upstairs.
Because Diecast has run out of room in his basement downstairs where he is now.
I had to buy a building.
Upstairs.
I had to buy a building to move everything out of my basement into.
Yeah,
I understand. Yeah, so it is a, I guess, collectible card game, like the TCG.
Deck building game.
Yeah, but I mean, this is basically the starter kit, except it's a really big box.
I think deck building games are kind of like a collectible card games, except you get all the cards at once, theoretically, so... They get around a couple of Wizards of the Coast's patents that way, I think.
But what's the promo pack then?
Well, it doesn't mean that there's not more cards to add as you go along.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't think there's like a, you know, random distribution element to it so much.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You buy expansion packs more than you buy booster packs, yeah. I guess would be the best way to put it.
I'm not opening this, I don't think. I don't have anybody to play it with, so.
There is a single player version of the rules, if I remember right.
Well, crap. Okay.
Because
well,
a lot of these deck building games are set up that way because, like, the people who are publishing them understand that we don't have any local friends, generally.
I mean, I have
any local friends with the same interests.
I'll be more specific. I have local friends.
No, you were right the first time.
I have local friends who are into Transformers. And I have local friends who are into games, but I don't have local friends who are into Transformers and games.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But that's what it is. Diecast, you have anything else?
Nope. That's it.
Okay. Let me jump to the Skids and Reboost. So, I transformed them both without instructions, like I normally do with
during
my
pre-show.
Yeah. During pre-show. But normally
you break them.
I was worried about that too, to be honest.
What was the last Transformer I actually broke? Oh, Star Convoy. Yeah.
That's been a while, to be fair.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I don't break that many.
No, we just kind of played up for laughs.
Because I, as a 5-year old, I broke like the first two Transformers I had.
Yes, and for the first like 3 or 4 years of the revival of the show, that was all the stories of your childhood you would tell. So it may seem like you just destroyed everything.
I destroyed everything, yeah. So so unlike more, well, I mean, you know, the recent Transformers cars, the Masterpiece cars, have actually not been, well, at least the last one was RC, and RC was pretty good. But we got to the point where some of them were ridiculous, like Hound. Like, I just was so worried. That I was going to break it. Bumblebee. I think I actually needed the instructions for Bumblebee. I had to have Matt reassure me that I could transform Hound without breaking the shoulder. But I was so flipping scared.
Yeah, I wouldn't have trusted it either.
Yeah, Hound was what actually broke me on Masterpieces. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I don't think I need to do this anymore.
But, you know, like seven, eight years ago, like the cars, starting with the Dotson brothers, they were so good.
So
Skids and Reboost feel much more like that. In fact, in some ways, I think they feel more satisfying, or at least maybe it's just the deficit of not having something like this for so many years. Like there are panels, but they're not that many panels. It's honestly more like transforming a G1 toy, a more complex G1 toy, but it's simple. There are more points of articulation, but there are fewer points where the thing could potentially break. Like MP44 or something, like the legs here, which should be pretty simple, you know, are ridiculously overcomplicated. They're not here. They're really simple. It feels really nice. There's not like paint everywhere. Like the head's painted, the weapon's painted. I think the forearms might be, but there's a lot of just, you know, unpainted plastic that looks good. I don't really see much in the way of, like, what is it, mold flashing or anything like that. QC-wise, this thing is stellar. And it's got a good size to it. It's small, but, you know.
So it's a Honda City.
Yeah. I really like it. I really do.
That's almost one-to-one scale, honestly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. I mean, it looks really nice, and it just feels great in the hand, and I didn't need to refer to the instructions at all. I just, you know, I probably didn't even need to refer to a photo, but I finally did. But after transforming Skids here, transforming Reboost was just amazingly easy. And God, it looks so good.
God, it really does.
It is so wonderful. God, it's the best thing.
Matt, you're going to have to get them.
Oh, I already have pre-ordered. I've just, you know, have like the July 2022 pre-orders.
This is a new camera I started using last week. I really like the way the camera.
I thought Hound broke you, so I'm just trying to bring it back.
But this will bring him back. Reboost is wonderful. Well,
yeah, I was turned around by early looks at these. Like, I was always going to get, I'm getting crosscut as well. I'm getting all three of them. Now, after that, we're going to see where,
you know, like I said, RC was
release.
RC was pretty good. RC was pretty good. I was actually pleased with RC. But man, he just looks so nice. Definitely and relatively inexpensive. I think I ended up paying $75 each shipped, roughly.
I thought they were really like good 90. For a Masterpiece.
Yeah.
Even 90 is good for a Masterpiece Autobot car.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I may have to see if I can get something earlier than those pre-orders.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon Japan still has it, last I checked.
Panda Strong in the Discord, tfradio.net/discord, says just paid for Skids and Reboosted Ami Ami right at 160 for both ships. So
yeah, great. It's very nice. Yeah, definitely can't wait for Crosscut, which is what, middle of next year? March?
Maybe? No, early next year.
Yeah, early, okay, well.
Is he an exclusive?
I got that one through Big Bad, so maybe it's Takaratomi Mall.
It might be Takaratomi
Mall. Oh, if you're getting it from Big Bad, then yeah, it'll be not quite early next year. It'll probably be somewhere around March or April.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, so this is just me guessing. Maybe it's because they know they're going to come over on a ship, and they're trying to account for how long it's going to take to get...
Well,
Crosscut wasn't coming out at the same time as the other two anyway. He's scheduled for like a January or February release in Japan.
So working theory right now is that the official Hasbro sanctioned imports of the masterpieces and things like that are separate production runs from what Takara releases domestically.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, you would have the freight time, the cargo time as a factor, but also like the factory finding the time to stamp out another bunch of these and, you know, get them all set up. So that would be contributing to the extensive wait times we've been having for some of these official imports.
So yeah, I just, if you can pick them up, pick them up.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple of other things. Don had mentioned Draculous. I've actually opened it and played with it, and I was not especially looking forward to it. I got one to keep in the box and one to open, and then one by mistake because I always forget to cancel my Hasbro Pulse pre-orders. I was okay with the original toy. I wasn't in love with it. I love this. I love this stupid thing.
The tuxedo helps.
Yeah. I like the face sculpt. I love the stupid cape. God, it's just so stupid and wonderful. It's just the best thing. Let's see how good focus I can get on the face. Not super good, but yeah, it's just definitely worth picking up.
Now they need to do a combiner as Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's right. So I found another, I don't have it with me because I don't normally mention duplicates that I get because I have a problem, but I found another Origins Bumblebee. I don't know if those have been restocked, but I saw one and wanted to snatch it up so that I could have one carded or boxed as well.
Yeah, I remember hearing in the last few weeks about those starting to turn up again.
Like Rob said, the Skywarp Sideswipe pack. I skipped the Mirage.
Grimlock.
Grimlock pack, because I don't care. But I really love the look of this, and, you know, I'm all about my Beast Wars second stuff. So, and two more, just two more? Yeah. I'm now one step closer to having all of Cloud. So I got Megatron.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. So, I still need Optimus and Hound. Optimus is easy to get a hold of.
Right.
Hound's not. Hound's actually worse than Hot Rod. It looks like. Wait, Hound? Brawn. Sorry.
Brawn. Yeah.
Yeah. I always call, for whatever reason, there's something wired incorrectly in my head that makes me call Brawn Hound. I don't know why.
Hey, Brian. Green off-road vehicle.
Yeah. What mold was that Megatron Cloud?
That's Revenge of the Fallen Bludgeon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which also came out as GDO Megatron that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Bonsaitron in Hunt for Decepticons. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's all I can think of at the moment.
And this is probably
Overlord. Overlord bot concept.
Yeah.
Yes. This is probably the worst of the options. Yes. Yeah. So
that Overlord was pretty bad.
No, so that Megatron Deco looks good on the mold. The problem is it's just that mold, which I was pretty happy with in 2009 or so when it came out. Mm-hmm. It aged really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, so you know the thing that happens with the blast effect on the Siege toys if you leave them plugged in sometimes, mm-hmm. where it deteriorates the plastic around them? The rubberized treads on that bludgeon mold will do the same thing to the plastic they're attached to.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's been documented on bludgeon, at least. Presumably the same thing would happen to subsequent uses that would have the same rubberized plastic treads attached to normal plastic. Yeah, so, I mean, you might as well just leave that in the box at this point. You know, treat it like it's a vintage Black Zarek.
Yeah. So, there's that. And I feel like I got something else, but there's other stuff on the way, sadly. A bunch of stuff shipped this week. And I got something dumb. I ordered it last week.
I mean, what else is new?
Yeah. I got a sealed copy of Transformers the Movie on VHS. It's not the FHE version, though. It's the Kid Rhino clamshell. So.
Oh, okay.
I need to get a sealed copy of the Mallow film version. And unfortunately, probably eventually a sealed copy of the FHE. Now, because I'm an idiot. I have a nice copy of the Mallow film, the Canadian release, but it's not sealed. So
I would own a sealed VHS copy of the FHE Transformers movie if I could.
Yeah, I didn't.
To me, that's not a weird or, well, it's not such a weird or dumb thing. I wouldn't have it. I recognize that objectively, it is probably weird and a little bit dumb, but I'm also the person that specifically sought out the Mobile Suit Gundam movie trilogy on VHS just because it was on VHS.
So the
the dubs, by the way.
I figured. The VHS is more expensive than my sealed Pioneer Transformers movie Laserdisc.
And that's why I won't have one.
Yeah, but it is not more expensive than the sealed original edition that I have from 89. But
that's still pretty up there, though.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I still have Encounters in Space on Betamax, by the way.
Nice.
You just gotta one-up me all the time, don't you?
I think that's it. There may be something in the floor, but that's pretty much the stupid stuff this week. Okay. Hey, want to thank all of our patrons at patreon.com/TFRadio. We're posting for patrons probably tomorrow the new episode of History on the Fives hosted by Rob. And if you're a patron at the Touch tier, you can actually be on that show. We posted a couple days ago an episode of Throwback. We posted the pre-show. You know, we post a lot of stuff to our Patreon exclusively for patrons. So patreon.com/TFRadio. It's the perfect time to sign up because it's the beginning of the month. You get access not only to everything that we've posted prior, as long as your tier has the content. And I think all of the podcasts do eventually show up in every tier. But the lowest tier, it might be a couple weeks before you get an episode of Throwback. But
Throwback is timeless content, so that's fine.
For the most part, Throwback is timeless content. Yeah. I'm working on the next episode because we try to post 2 a month. Yeah, so we post a lot of content to our Patreon. It's definitely a great value. Patreon.com/TFRadio. And of course, if you're a patron of the Touch tier, we mention you every week as a thank you because you're awesome. And I have no idea if this has changed. I didn't get a note that anyone new joined this tier this week, so... unlike normal, I normally prune it like halfway through the month if somebody drops off. Don't drop off, though, because it's definitely, it's value. Kevin Dorsey, Ryan Bona, Emmett Stresovich, Rabbits, Hector Bones, Ness, and I bought some shirts from Ness's T Public store. There's some awesome stuff there, by the way. Joey Russell.
You didn't say Ness with enough derision or disappointment.
I'm done with that. Sorry, okay. Ness. Yeah, Joey Russell, Jason Hiley, Mike Mallory, Jay Rye, Sean Hamilton, Jacob Owen Lucia, Sean Bratton or Boomer, whose birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday. Spider Bob, Black and White, Now in Color, which is Frank, and his birthday's coming up in a couple days.
Saturday, I think.
Yeah, Sabertron Toys, Tyrell Gwynn, Paul Schreiber, Sterling, and Rick Mahurin, who was just booted off Twitter. So if you want to reach Rick, you can't.
Well, in our Discord, you know, every now and then.
Yeah. I think Diecast asked him why, and he's like, I'm not a nice person on Twitter. Like, I think you're nice. So, yeah.
I mean, a lot of us are not nice people on Twitter.
This is true.
Yeah, I know this feeling.
I'm not a nice person here. I mean.
That's your gimmick, though.
Yeah, well. Don't give away all my secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can be a real jerk on Twitter.
Yeah. You ask JMS questions that are in the FAQ and stuff like that.
How dare.
Okay. So, and of course, you know, our Amazon link still works, tfradio.net/Amazon. If you don't want to sign up for a Patreon, that's always an easy way to help us out. Or our store, TPublic store, tfradio.net/shirt, or tpublic.com/users/tfradio. But, you know, just tfradio.net/shirt is easy enough. Right now I'm wearing my 3¾-inch shirt, which is nice. I'm basically now buying up multiple shirts whenever there's a TPublic sale. I think they just ended, but yeah.
But there's one every, 4 or 6 weeks,
yeah, basically. Basically, my entire COVID wardrobe has been shirts from TeePublic. Kim is really tired of it. She's like, you wear the same 4 or 5 shirts. And I'm like, yes, I do. I love these shirts. And sadly, my two favorite shirts that I got off TeePublic are no longer available. So, aww. Like, yeah, one of them already, I think it got, I was doing some work on something and it got, there was a tear. And like the other one that I've worn so many times, it finally has a hole in it. But I'm going to keep wearing the damn thing because I love that shirt. So, patreon.com/TF Radio. Amazon is at tfradio.net/Amazon. And shirts are at tfradio.net/shirts. You can find like basically everything I mentioned in the show. We've been doing this a while, like 20 years, over 20 years, off and on. We, you know, actually for the throwback segment, I think I'm going to do like a segment actually about the history of RFC. I just want to talk about myself thing, but,
you do that every day anyway.
Yeah. But I think we have one, have an interesting history, but two, you know, it's not like something we go into, you know, all the time. But you know, sometimes it's interesting, especially for new listeners. One of my, pretty much my favorite podcast recently had their 15th anniversary and they went into some of that stuff. And, you know, for people who don't know know that information, it's actually pretty fascinating. So I think for the next episode, we'll probably do something like that.
The secret files and origins of Radio Free Cybertron.
Yes. So, tfradio.net, you can find our archive going back years in 22 years, like 22 years. There's a couple years when we didn't produce content, but I think there's one episode that was lost from like 1999 or 2000. Literally,
that's
every
not too bad.
Yeah, literally every other show that we've ever recorded is out there. So, and I
for better or worse,
yeah, that one show is long gone. We'll never find it. But tfradio.net, our archive goes back years. Let's see, yeah, years. We're also on Twitter at tfradio, Facebook facebook.com/tfradio, and Instagram at tfpodcast, and our Roku channel and everything. I just paid a big bill to help continue facilitating Roku. So if you have one, use it. Because it's expensive.
Yeah, buy something from Amazon with their link.
Yep. So, yeah. And I'm personally...
If you don't have a Roku device, buy one off of Amazon with our link and then subscribe to our Roku channel.
I love my Roku. I actually, it's my preferred set-top box. I actually bought a Roku TV. We actually have a couple in the three in the house now. And I love the Roku. I really do.
So in Tennessee in August, they have a tax-free weekend. So mm-hmm. last year, actually, I took advantage of that and stimulus money to buy myself a replacement TV because my Vizio, which is my daily driver TV, mm-hmm. is going on 12 years old.
Oh, yeah.
It's still going strong, but I knew it can't last forever. So I got that and it's a Roku TV. So one day when Vizio, this workhorse Vizio dies and I have to replace it, I will have a Roku device and I probably still won't subscribe to our channel because I just don't do things like that. But everybody else should buy a Roku device from Amazon with our affiliate link and subscribe to our channel because, you know, we need validation.
Yeah, pretty much. tfradio.net/Roku for that. I'm on Twitter at BKilby, Instagram at Brian Kilby, and my albums and other stuff can be found at briankilby.com. Trying to do some more reviews.
Like Happy Day reviews?
No, well, actually, maybe a little bit. I really want to put more content on my personal site because, you know, there's stuff that we do sometimes that may make more sense there.
Sure.
But of course, I don't want to necessarily put it somewhere where it's never going to get heard. So.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, so sometimes things might make it into the feed here where, back in the day when we had like a network of shows and it made more sense, but right now we're pretty darn focused just on Transformers. So, but briankilby.com, you can find like my Christmas albums going back the last 5 years and working on the new one now.
You've been doing them longer than that though, haven't you?
No, this will be my sixth one.
I could swear you sent me a Christmas album CD in like 2011.
Oh no.
Because I'm 99% sure.
No, that was like, that was like 2015.
Yeah, I only produced one on CD, and that was like 2016, 2015. Yeah.
Okay. The strongest memory I have is receiving it and then going outside and setting it on fire. So.
Thanks.
I listened to mine, Brian.
Thank you. Yeah, you told. Yeah, that was definitely the 2015 album. You told me about that. So, briankilby.com. Let's see here, Chris. How do people find you?
Ah, well, I'm glad you asked, Brian. Just today I started a new thing for most of this month. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with Ashton's on YouTube. Brian's probably not, because he doesn't like follow anybody on YouTube. But every year around this time, him and one of his fellow British YouTubers does an advent calendar series. And I took some inspiration from that because, like, I wanted to do a second Photober this year, like I did last year, but the jury duty thing kind of made that impossible. But, like, I was struck with the inspiration thinking of this advent calendar series coming up. And it's just like, I could do this in December, the 25 days of toy photography.
Ooh,
a virtual advent calendar.
I love that.
So I started that today. So great. That's at playwithphotography.com/advent calendar, one word. The first entry is up right now. There's also blog posts that go with it. The calendar table I have set up on that page links to each post as they go up, so you can read a little bit about the things I've featured. The one for today is a Naked Gundam. But you know, that happens. The thing with that is these G-frame Gundams, they all have this universal inner frame system that is like the most superposable thing at 3 3/4 inches tall I've ever seen. But when you put the armor on, they're not so superposable anymore. So it's very much worth, for my purposes at least, like doing a whole thing just about this frame because it's amazing to me. So
I love this idea.
This is going to be very much in the spirit of Photober, where it's just like things that I think are interesting to produce little pieces of content for, and, you know, hopefully stuff that will resonate with other people too. But mainly it's going to be like, if you're into seeing the things I'm into, this is going to be the 25 days for you. And it is only the 25 days of toy photography. I'm not doing the whole month. Even in the original plan for Photober 2, Electric Boogaloo, that I was going to drop the weekends from that. So this actually is getting bonus days compared to what Photober would have been, since that would have lost 10 days out of the month of October. This just loses like 6.
Sweet.
So nice. That's going to be going on every day this month. I'm personally on Twitter at QuizRTXV. You can follow the toy photography stuff, including the advent calendar updates, at Play With Photos. And if you want to throw some support my way for the massive amount of work that's ahead of me for doing one of these features, patreon.com/playwithphotos. You can throw a couple dollars my way, or whatever floats your boat. And I also have, because it's coming up on the Christmas season, if you want to send me something for the holiday gift giving, my Amazon wish list at tfradio.net/chrislist, where, you know, a couple things I got this week already came from there. So thank you both very much for that. Although, you know, one is I formerly thought deceased fanfic writer, and the other one doesn't listen to the show. But, you know, what are you going to do? Thanks anyway, though.
Rob.
Okay, I'm on Twitter at Rob Flails. That's the Twitter for Flail Throughs, my YouTube presence thingy. Channel. Let's call it a channel. That makes sense. I mostly cover Gundam games over there. I am doing 3 at a time right now, which is slightly ridiculous, but to be fair, Namco Bandai just handed me one of them, so, you know, what was I going to do?
Nice.
Yeah. That one is Gundam Battle Operation Code Fairy. That's the single player Gundam Battle Operation game, which the third volume of that comes out in about 2 hours. And so I'm going to be up late recording again tonight. Also, G Generation Genesis, a Gundam strategy game with hundreds of units that covers the Universal Century timeline. That's a lot of fun. And Gundam Battle Operation 2, the free-to-play team shooter version of the same engine used in Code Fairy. So if you want to see all that, youtube.com/flailthroughs. If you want to subsidize that, patreon.com/flailthroughs. And I also have a Amazon wish list at tfradio.net/claylist.
Very cool. Don.
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
Very cool. Diecast.
I'm on Twitter at Diecast2. You can, I have a wish list. It's at tfradio.net/diecastlist. You can like my Facebook page at Reviews by Diecast, and you can see all my reviews at tfradio.net/reviews.
Cool. Let's see here. And Rob Springer, not here, at RoboRobSpringer and at zonebase.org. And I saw that he has a TikTok, but I've only logged into TikTok once, so I can't tell you how to get to it, but I'm sure that his website will. John DeLuna, he's at that John D everywhere.
for another blast from the past, I saw Rob's tweet of one of his blog posts today, and the title of it was Wings Down.
Nice, yeah.
That's a reference that only me and Brian get.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so I guess that's it. We will see you next week.
Good night, everybody.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?